Two Right. This is Channel Two Right, and a continuation of Mr. Eastman's visit on Monday the 16th of December 1968, carried over from Channel One over, and this is the beginning of Channel Two Right, right in the middle of the visit of Mr. Eastman on Monday the 16th of December 1968, when he came up here to make Faye's stove burn a little faster. That was in that 20th weather, two nights in a row, down to 24, and Faye's stove would burn, but there wasn't much heat in it.
Don't let him out of bed, he says, because he says, I doubt if he lived 3 days. And he says, he got a bad one. Well, he's run along 3 days. I was feeling pretty good, and I got to put my clothes on. I sat there in the chair. Jesus, a rap come to the door. He rapped on the door, and then he opened the door and come right in. Jesus, Doc. He says to me, what are you doing up here with your clothes on? Well, I said, Doc, I made up my mind. If I'm going to die, I'll die with my shoes on. He straight down, he picked up his suitcase there, and he says, you know, if a man want to do as I tell him to, he says, I ain't going to doctor him. He turned right around and walked out. My wife called him up and he wouldn't come again. Well, so I lived 8 miles from the city of Oneida. So after I got so that, in a week or so, I got so that I could get around, and I got out and drove the car, and I went down to Oneida to the doctors down there. Well, Jesus, you know, they put me all through x-rays and cardiograms and blood tests and every darn thing. And they didn't seem to help me a bit, you know. Well, I say they probably did help me some, but not noticeable. So, I could drive a car, but you know, just a minute that I tried to do anything, by God, you know, I was done.
And you couldn't walk?
Huh?
You couldn't walk.
So if I wanted to go somewhere in the city, I'd take a newspaper, and I'd walk just as far as I could walk, you know, safely, and then I'd walk right over and step in the curb and sit right down, right on
the curb, you know.
People would come along, and they'd look at me just as much and say, look at that drunken pup. Well, I didn't care what they thought. It didn't make any difference to me. So, run along. Well, there was one day I'd get down in the shop and kind of tinker around a little bit, you know, trying to keep my strength up and everything. And I was down in the shop there one day, and we got a snowstorm. And the snow slid off, and the garage had a three-car garage right back in my shop. So I got the shop door on the back, and there was a loading platform out there. It's up about 4 feet from the ground. Only about 3 feet up, because you could back a truck up to it and unload right off of it. And then this garage was out, oh, probably 30 feet from the platform back there, so you could drive in and then have to back out and swing around. And the doggone roof, see, come right down, so the snow slid right down in front of the garage doors. Well, I thought to myself, now, I'll go out and I'll throw out 4 shovels full of snow. And I'll come in and rest a while, and I'll go back out and throw out 4 more. And I mean, after a while, I'll have it so that I can get the car out. The snow had slid off, and it was just about that deep. Well, I went out, and I shoveled out 4 shovels full. It didn't seem to hurt me, and I went back in the shop and sat around in there a few minutes. I had a big desk in there and a chair and a stove in there that was warm. I went back out. I took the snow shovel, you know, and cut. If you know anything about snow, they can cut in, you know, just enough to get your shovel full, you know, and take it out. Well, I cut in there for 4 shovels full. I throwed out 2 of them. I went to reach for the 3rd one. By God, I went right on my head in the snow. And I couldn't get on my feet again. Well, I rolled around and I crawled on my hands and knees and I got over and I got back into the shop and I said, by Jesus, the fellow that put that snow there can take it away. And I sat there in the shop a while and finally I got back upstairs and got it on like that. Well, there was another woman in town that had a heart attack and she owned quite a number of houses there. And this Czechoslovakia doctor come up from New York. He heard that the doctor had moved there. This doctor that was there that wouldn't come see me anymore, he didn't take too good to the people around there, see. Well, the people kind of liked me, and when they heard what he'd done down there and wouldn't come back, you know, geez, that kind of hurt him a lot. So he moved over in another town, 8, 9 miles or 10 away, and he took pretty good over there. They liked him pretty good. Well, when he come there to my town, he was a single fella. Well, he got married, and they had a big party there when they got married, and a lot of them got drunk. And Jesus, that didn't take very good around there because the people right around there were pretty religious. And when he came in there and got drunk like that, that just didn't take good at all. So this other doctor came in there, and of course these Czechoslovakia doctors, in order to practice in the United States, they have to take an internship there in New York City in some big hospital down there so they can see what they can do, you know, before they let them in. Well, he came up there and he rented the house off from this woman. Well, he doctored her for her heart trouble, and God, he helped her. And she got along pretty good. So she called me up one day and said she wished that I'd go down and see the old Doc Feldman. He'd helped her, and she thought maybe he could help me. So I went down. He'd got in a brand new x-ray machine down there, and cartograph outfit, and fluoroscope, and all them things. He gave me a real good examination down there in the cartogram. He sat there, and he was checking that cartogram, you know, and then he got out a book with a whole lot of diagrams in it, you know, cartograph diagram, checking them one against the other. Finally, he says to me, he says, come here. He says, here's your case right here. And he showed me how the goddamn, you know, the markings on there, you know, and they go up and they go so many, and then they go up one like that. You know. Showed me right where they was matched, see. And now he says, you know, they make a medicine in the old country, he says, that'll cure that. But he says they don't have it here in the United States. He says if I can get some of that, he says I can help him. He says if I can't get it, I don't think I can. So I told him go ahead and get it. Let it run along. Oh, 10 days, 2 weeks. The telephone rang and I answered. He says, I got it. I said, you got what? He says, I got that medicine. He said, you come right down and get it. And so, gal, I went down, and he was one of the most tickled old fellas you ever see. You know, he got that medicine. Well, sir, you know, and run along. Why, well, I took it 3-4 weeks, and by gal, I can have to pick right up. I got around so I could do quite a lot of work. Well, you know, I took that medicine right along. I didn't take as much of it. I cut down on it, you know, done the dosage of it. But I took that right along up until they, I went down for operation on for gallbladder. And they checked me down there and they wanted to know if I was taking any medicine and I told them what it was. Well, I said, I'm going to tell you that the cartograph and the x-ray have shown that your heart is perfect. You haven't got to take any more of that.
Of all things.
And so, God, I haven't taken any since.
Is that right?
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That is just a marvelous something.
But you know, the only thing, if I get cold, my blood will clog. And it'll come right up, geez, your arms will have bunches right on, right where the veins are, you know, there's a bunch right up, the clots.
Well, I never heard of that, Miss Eason.
You have to stay warm.
And I have to wear a shirt with sleeves in most of the time.
Uh-huh.
Because if my arms get cold, that'll come out in bunches, I think.
Well, I'll be Dan Byrne.
I've showed a lot of people that there. Yeah, they wouldn't hardly believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, them bunches will come right in the veins. They clot right in there.
Huh.
And they say that I've talked to different doctors about it, and they say that hardening of the arteries works that way too. Some.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how to take care of it. That's the thing.
Well, that's quite a story.
Why, he's one of the most wonderful
fellows
that ever was.
Yeah. Now, what town were you in?
This fellow's gone over to a town called Morrisville.
Mm-hmm. What's that close to?
Well, they're both of them not too far from Syracuse.
Yeah.
Well, I guess shoveling snow is about as hard on a heart.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody's got heart trouble, you don't leave snow alone.
Yeah.
They claim that it isn't the snow, it's the picking it up and you're breathing in that cold off of it.
Oh.
Oh, that is it.
That's they said that it's the inhaling that cold off in that snow.
Yeah.
I realize. I know a number of people that we know have died who didn't know they had any heart condition.
Well, that's it.
Have died.
Yeah.
Shoveling snow.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I couldn't shovel my
snow. Did that happen in
47?
Yeah. Well, now, is that when you first came down here?
I came down here first in 45.
And just spent the winter?
Yeah. But in 47, I wasn't going to come down because I had that contract that I'd got to get that school fixed, see? And I figured that after we got the school job done, well, then maybe I'd come down for the back end of the winter. Geez, after I had that, I didn't come down. Well, then I come down again in 49, and then from then on, I come down every winter.
Mm-hmm. And then you just moved down here. When was that?
Well, I've been down here summers for 6 years.
6 years. Yeah.
See, my first wife, she didn't like it down here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't come. So I used to get another fellow and come down with me, and we'd come down together, her cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes down, goes down to St. Cloud. But he hasn't come down this year, and I don't know whether he's going to make it or not. He's 86 years old, and he don't feel too good. He awfully wants to come, but...
Yeah.
But his family up there don't want him to come.
You don't know.
First winter that I was down here in Florida with my first wife, we had a trailer, a 21 footer, and 15 gallons of kerosene run us for heating that trailer all winter.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, I'd take and get up in the morning. Of course, they had a lot warmer winter in 45 than what we've had now, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd take and get up in the morning, and I'd light it. And go back to bed for maybe 15, 20 minutes. Get up, and gee, it'd be just as warm in there, you know, as could be. Well, I'd shut it off, and we'd get breakfast and be around all through the day, you know, the sun would be out like that. When mm-hmm. night, when it started to cool off, I'd light it again for 15, 20 minutes. To warm that trailer right up and shut it off and go to bed, you know,
mm-hmm.
see? And by God, that's the way we worked it all.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take hardly any fuel.
Oh, they're marvelous.
That
yes,
was the only international heater that it had in that trailer. Of course, that wasn't too big a trailer. On the inside, it was 18 feet by 7.5 wide.
Miss Eastman?
Too much in it. Talk about greasing and drain. I got some funny story to tell you. There was an old fella up home that, he had quite a lot of money. And when they come out with the bonds, you know, in World War I, boy, he bought $10,000 worth right off quick. And see, that kind of set the people up, you know, thinking, wonder where the heck he got that money. Because he was a railroad worker And they all were saved, every doggone thing, you know. And he got all of the old railroad ties and took them home. And they cut them up with a cross-cut saw for wood. He never had to, never bought any fuel or nothing, you know. And he had a cow, and he raised his own potatoes there, had a little patch of ground. And he just saved every nickel.
And lived well.
And his daughter got married, and he built this house. Well, the son-in-law was supposed to pay him back for the house, but he didn't pay him. So the old fellow died, and the god, he left it to another son. See, so the other son was going to move in there. Well, this daughter, she was pretty mad about it. And they put off moving until way along in cold weather, you know. And she moved out. Well, after they moved out, they couldn't use the kitchen drain, the sink drain at all. The sink, the kitchen was on one end of the house, and the drain out of the cellar was on the other end, see? And they had run a 2-inch pipe down from the sink down there, and then it run right down the corner way, right down across the wall, over into the drain on the other end. Well, geez, I went down there and up there, and we couldn't get nothing down through it. So I started taking the pipe apart, and it was all full of grease. You know what she'd done? She was just that mad and mean that she went down to the store and she bought 2 of them 5-gallon pails of lard.
Only pieces.
And they went up there and just melted it up and just, they put a cloth down to the end of the drain, see, to hold it in there. And they knew that that stuff would coagulate when it got cold. And they just poured that hot grease right in there and they just plugged that doggone drain. Now that goes to show you just how mean some people can get. Yes. And I had to take a blowtorch by G and heat that doggone pipe, you know, so as to run that grease out of it. Well, you got the pipe all hot, you know, and you take the pipe and stand up on the end, and there the grease went right out of it, just like a big icicle.
Mm. Wouldn't you like to have been around while they were cooking up that plan, Mr. Eastman?
Boy, that brother was pretty mad, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Well, I was up there the other day doing some work. She said, I got another problem. I said, what's that? She said, you know, in here for the fireplace. She said she had a piano pupil there, and they had been... she'd been giving her a lesson, and after the lesson there, they was a-talking one thing and another, and they heard this scratching and digging on right in the wall in there with the piano in there. And she said, I don't know what it was, but she said, I rapped on that wall, and I said, you get the devil out of here. I said, I've heard cello people trying to talk to animals, but I don't know how they made out.
What are we, Mr. Eastman?
Oh, about an hour, about... 2.5.
Let me tell you, Miss Eastman, your house over here, they just boarded that up.
Yeah, I see that. Well, I told you what they done, didn't I?
No.
Well, she gave us some checks, you know, and they wasn't any good.
Oh, oh, don't tell me.
Yeah.
You mean for the labor?
So I come back. I took and give the check to Wind down there on the bill that I owed him. The check come back to Wind down there. So they told me, well, I come out over there and I told her, and I said, geez, you better take care of that because that's kind of a serious charge. And said, if you don't, and Wind turns that over to the sheriff, then I said, they're going to cost you some more money. Boy, she went right to Gainesville to the bank and went right down and took care of it.
Is that right? They just don't keep track.
Yeah, because he called up on a Sunday morning that we were supposed to go back up on a Monday, you know. He called up on a Sunday morning there and said not to come up until they got a hold of some more money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and headed off the other guy that was working with me and told him. And the next thing I knew, the check come back.
Mr. Eastman, what was what did they want over there when you were...
Were they going to build on a kitchen and a living room? And then they're going to take the kitchen and living room that they got and make them into bedrooms.
Oh. Oh. Kitchen and a living room.
Yeah.
And they couldn't make up their mind they wanted the ceiling high or low.
Yeah. She wanted it up, you know. And he raised the devil, so God, we had to set it down again.
Well, did you ever talk to him?
Yeah. But that's where I made a mistake. I should have went right ahead and made a blueprint of it, and then it had it.
Oh. But, well, know, it looks like he did. He's a carpenter, you might say.
No, he's a plumber.
Well, he knows what...
Tell me he works up in Gainesville and got a good job up there and gets big money.
Gets big money.
Yes, he does.
But I guess he's a fellow that spends a lot of it for booze.
I never heard of them boozing. They may.
Well, I don't, that's what I was told. I don't know. I've never been around him when he was drunk, but that's what I was told.
Yeah.
Well, I do thank you so much.
Most of these department stores, they have them.
What would you ask for?
Well, they have them little table fans, you know, that sets up about that high.
Well, they run so fast. You don't need much of a fan for this.
But you know them little fans. Now, we used to buy them little fans to put in the stove. When they used to use a lot of them, people burning pea coal and buckwheat coal in the kitchen ranges. And we used to put them little fans right in the front. And we used to buy them for $6 to $8.
Yeah.
Geez, you know, they want $35 to $40 for them doggone fans now.
That's the trouble.
Yeah.
And we used to, you take these gas stoves, you know. You can buy them little fans, and then you just take and cut a little hole right in the back and set that right in there and take a couple of sheet metal screws and screw it right on.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, you know, you take them gas stoves, and they'll really heat out then.
Mm-hmm.
But gee, we used to buy them down here for about $20.
Mm-hmm.
But they got way up on them now.
Let me tell you, do you ever, you never run across stoves like this anywhere, do you?
Run across them?
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's a lot of them around.
Well, I mean, that you could pick up.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, what I was thinking about...
Let's see. 5 years ago, they run a second-hand store down there at Orange Lake and sold furniture and clothes and all that kind of stuff in there. Well, I'll bet that I fixed up 25 or 30 stoves similar to that. Well, all sizes, from smaller than that to bigger than that.
Yeah.
And that's where I got the one that I'm using. I got over there. And they brought them in there from Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, they used to bring them in there.
I wonder why they quit.
Well, he didn't sell furniture enough down there to make a go of it there. Yeah.
That's the end of this tape, Mr. Eastman's, on Monday, the 16th of December, 1968. And this is Channel 2 Right, around 275. Channel 2 Right, around 275. And the end of this Mr. Eastman's visit on Monday, the 16th of December, 1968. Right at that cold spell, while Faye had that bad bronchial trouble and a flu, I guess, and the day before I took it. Now, this is Channel 2 Right. This is Channel 2 Right, around 275, and the beginning of the Mr. Arthur Eastman, a whole day up here, putting in the hot water heater on Saturday, the 16th of August, 69. On Saturday, the 16th of August, 69. Now, to start with, the first time I'd ever had the tape going all day long, I put on one of those little half-mil, five-inch reels and let it run in the front room. Well, it eventually runs out, you know, and then I'd have to run it back, nothing on it. It looked for a while as if this wasn't Mr. Eastman's day. The very beginning, he came through with the experience of the boys' camp, and then at the very end, he picked it up on the milk war, and I never heard of that before. He was measuring over there, and he looked up and saw that old telephone I got from Mr. Rogers' store.
That takes you back, don't it?
Yeah.
No, the first telephone that we had cost us $1 a year. Besides our tolls, but it cost us $1 a year. See, for the telephone. Of course, the farmers all owned their own telephones in them days.
Yeah. Now, this is just some small talk. He says, I said, I should have had that shelf and all that other stuff torn out for you. He said he thought maybe Nick could have done it.
If I'd been enterprising, I'd had that all knocked down for you, Mr. Eastman.
Yeah, well, I didn't know maybe the other guy would have it all out here.
But he's a plumber. Daddy's a plumber. I tell you what, he likes horses, I think, more than he does plumbing.
Yeah, I thought so.
Now, I don't remember just, he started, about to start now on the boys' camp. I don't remember just what started that. Maybe it's just what we just said.
I tell you, I've been floating around with so damn much gas, and I don't care about it. Jesus, I got rolled one time. I took care of a big Jewish camp. They took care of anywhere from, well, they generally had around 150 to 65 kids, but they could, when they started in, they had 125, and I've seen it 195 kids up there all summer.
That's a lot of kids.
And they had this big water heater that I put in for them up there. I took care of the camp for 20 years.
Good Lord.
And I done all their maintenance work and all their building and everything that they wanted done. It was call art.
For 20 years?
Yep. And, geez, I don't know how many camps I built for them. And then they had a big arts and craft building there where they taught the kids, it was ceramic and leather work and carpenter work and a little of everything there where they taught the kids, you know. Jesus, they'd done some of the most beautiful leather work there.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then they worked with plastic and all that kind of stuff in there.
Yeah.
But to get back to this had this big water heater, and all that done was heat the water for the dishwasher. See, we had a big dishwasher up there that I put in. Washed 6,000 dishes an hour. And they had to have plenty of hot water, you know, to run that, because just the minute that your temperature got down under 200, then they had to dry the dishes with a dishcloth, you know.
Oh.
They wouldn't dry themselves. See, the water got to be right around 200, or a little bit better, for the dishes to dry themselves.
Yeah.
And this big water heater, or this big gas heater, it worked just the same as these old-fashioned heaters in the stove, you know, because you had to have a big tank, and the water just went through that and circulated through that and kept the water in the tank hot. See,
yeah.
Just the same as them old range boilers did that they had behind the kitchen stove.
Yeah.
Well, that old big heater had four 14-inch burners. There was one set here, one here, one here, and one here, and the pilot was right in the middle. Come right up in the middle. Well, I was laying on the kitchen floor up there, trying to get that pilot light lit, see? And I had a taper in there, right under the pilot. And here I was with one hand, and the other hand holding that button that you push in, you know, to let the gas come through into your pilot. That you have to hold until your pilot will stay lit. Geez, I don't know where that gas come from, but all at once she went bang. And it blowed me right out through that kitchen, right on the floor, right out through there. Well, I had a cap on, and when I got up, my eyebrows was all burned off, and the hair all under my cap, just what was covered up in my cap with all the hair that I had left on my head.
Yeah.
And it blowed me, oh, geez, 25 or 30 feet right on that floor.
And you
when
got
that
up,
thing let go. Huh?
And you got up and went on and fixed it.
Why, Mr. Eastman? It killed me.
My brother was there with me, and he come running when he heard that explosion, you know. He was in another part of the building there, and he got up and he said, "My God, look in the glass. My face was just as black as could be, you know. And my eyebrows, I didn't have eyebrows or eye whiskers or nothing. And then it's all bare around here."
You mean gas can blow you like that?
You just try it once and see.
And not hurt you?
Didn't hurt me too bad. It hurt me some, but I made a live of it, as the fellow said.
It did what?
I made a live of it, as the fellow said.
Made a live of it.
Another thing, you know, you see them damn marks on my head? Can you see where that was cut?
Yeah, I got a connection right there.
You got what?
I got a connection right there, the wires.
Oh.
I'll just cover that up.
And, I damn near got killed with that. They took me to the hospital, thought I was dead. I'm going to write a piece and put in the paper someday before long about that.
What happened to you then, sir?
Huh? I was pulling a deep well pump and the pipe slipped. When it did catch it, we had an old telephone pole strung across two buildings. There were two buildings set just like this.
Yeah.
And that, and the well was right in the middle, right in the corner here. We had this electric light pole across the top with a chain fall hanging on it. And pulling that two and a half inch pipe with a jet down the bottom of an 8-inch well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you take 150 feet of 2-inch and 2.5-inch pipe and have a phone full of water. They got quite a lot of weight there, see.
Mm.
Well, the pipe slipped, you know, and when it caught, he gives out a jerk, broke that darn electric light pole right in two, and that chain fall hit me on the head.
Now that's tough.
You've heard him tell that somebody get killed, they'll say, well, they never knew what hit them. Well, the chances are they do. When I come through down there in the hospital, the doctor was sewing up my head, you know.
Yeah.
And I heard him about the first another doing thing. I heard him say, well, the one good thing about it, we didn't have to shave his head before we sewed it up. And I said, well, never mind my head, do something about my back. Well, he said, we got to stop this blood, he said, or you won't need any back.
You see, he had miscalculated, and he can't take the water heater itself out. Well, it ought to take it down my television corner. Likes about a half an inch. That's after he gets the outside cover off. It's the tank still too wide. So he looks around and finds that he can cut another board or two out of the closet and take it out through the next room, bedroom.
You don't suppose we could take this little stuff up and just push out a half an inch?
You know what you could do? Just put that little cover back on it and go ahead and put it out, John, if it's going to be too much trouble, Miss Deason.
No, you won't get it out.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'd get it out if it was me,
yeah.
But I'll have to cut off another board back in there, I guess.
Still heavy, isn't it?
Gosh, you know what? Wouldn't it?
So you're standing right on those wires, like I told you.
Let me get the saw and I'll cut them.
Thank you.
Just take any of it.
Now, there was a long cookie tape. That was a long cookie tape. That lasted a long time. And then Frank came in just in time to help pull that new water heater in here, and we put it out there. And it's a good while now before Mr. Eastman makes a little conversation about a Stego horse.
Did you ever hear of the Stego brand of horses or breed of horses?
The what kind?
Tego, T-E-G-O.
Lord, no, mister. Tego.
They were almost white, and they looked just as though somebody had a shotgun loaded with red ink and just peppered them. Had all little goddamn red spots in that white. And they was a tough old boy. They a nice saddle horse, about the size of this one here that just loaded.
Yeah.
They did use them some for workhorses, but mostly saddle horses, but they was a tough old boy and rode it. They made a great road horse. Either they get out on the road, boy, they
could. Yeah.
They'd really travel.
Yeah.
Tego, they call them. When I see some of these Appaloosa horses there, it makes me think of them.
Where did you see them?
Oh, up in New York.
Yeah.
They used to have quite a few of them up there. I never had one, but my brother-in-law had one. Boy, that horse could really rode it.
What'd he use him for?
Well, he was on a small farm.
Yeah.
He had a couple of horses.
Hello? Yes, ma'am. Yes!
See, I think they've taken off. Let me look out there. Yes, it must have been 15, 20 minutes ago that they left out. They sat here in the kitchen a few minutes. But now, I don't see the trailer out there. Let me... Yeah. He and Frank were in here. All right, we had a good rain last night. Yeah, about an inch. That's right. It could, if the sun had come out, it'd be all right. Yeah. Yeah. Righto.
Good Lord. I had probably more than that. stock, fixtures, some fixtures, plumbing stuff, and I always had a couple electric stoves in there, and refrigerator, and sinks,
yeah,
all that stuff. Jesus, I tell you, you start inventorying that stuff and see how quick it counts up.
Oh, yes.
Water heater.
And just think how much of your income goes into all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and then I had two or three, four water pumps up there. Myers water pumps, I used to sell quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
All the repairs for them pumps. Jeez, they used to come 15, 20 miles to get repairs for pumps up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was about 12:30 when he left to go to the Winds to get that nipple. I was pleased that he went on and had lunch, dinner, while he was down there. And that gave us time to monkey around a little here, get the cows up, one thing or another.
I looked like I've been just sitting here where you left him, Mr. Eastman, but
yeah.
I've been working ever since you left. I brought the cows up and just got back in.
Cows, all right.
Oh yeah, they just love to change pastures, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about this. This is one of the fine incidents about that boys' camp.
I was working over there one day, and of course the kids, you know, them Jewish kids. The minute that they're old that high, they got to learn to swim. One of the main things at the camp is to learn them kids to swim. So he was kind of monkeying around there one day. I says, Bob, I says, you know why they always learn the Jewish kids to swim just as soon as they can walk? Oh, he says, I never heard. He says, it's just a great thing if I'm learning to swim. Well, I says, I can tell you. I said, you know, there was a Jew and an Irishman. They got going along. They didn't either one of them have a nickel, and they were just a bum in it. And they didn't know where they was going to get their next eats. I said, they was going along this country road, and they come to this pond. And up on the pond, there was a sign. It says, rescued alive, $5. Rescued dead, $10. The Jew says, Mike, look at that sign. He says, boy, here's where we get $5. He says, you jump in, he says, and I'll save you, he says, and we get that $5. Well, the Irishman, he didn't say much, and the Jew commenced talking about it. And finally, Mike says, Mo, he says, you jumped in, he says, and I'll save you, he says, and we get the $5. Well, the Jew was so damn crazy to get that $5, he says, all right, Mo, Mike, he says, here I go. So he run out and jumped right in. Well, Jesus, he come up, you know, and the Irishman, he was hollering to beat all, and the Irishman wasn't paying any attention. He's just standing there looking. He went down the second time. And the Irishman didn't pay any attention to him, you know. And he come up the third time, and the Irishman was standing up there, and he started in singing. He says, goodbye, my Jew friend, farewell to you. Take one last look up at the sky so blue. You had your chances like other men. We need that five spot, but I'll take the 10. Geez, you know that you got madder in blazes at me? Yeah. So the next time that something went wrong with the plumbing, he goes and calls another plumber in.
Oh, he got mad at you.
He got mad at me, see? So, when the pillow went into the to the head guy up in Syracuse there, you know, for his doing some plumbing work. He was over there and got on the telephone and he called me and wanted to know why I didn't take care of it. Well, I said I didn't know anything about it. Well, he says, I got a bill in here from this other fellow, this other plumber, for doing some work over there. Well, I said, I didn't know that they'd called him. It was news to me. And so he says, well, what are you doing Saturday afternoon? Well, I says, I don't know. He said, meet me over there. So I went over. And, geez, you know, oh, Phil Holstein says to this Bob Robinson, his name was, he says, how come, he says, you didn't call out on that plumbing? Why, Bob says he's one of them damn smart alecks, he said, and they don't want him around here anymore. Well, Phil Holstein says, what do you mean, smart alecks? He says, he's always been all right with us, the rest of us, and these other camp directors that's been in here. Well, then he went on and told him, and I thought that old Phil Holstein would die of laughing. He says, Art, he says, you tell that over to me again, will you? So I told it over to him and sung it to him there, you know, boy. He got a big kick out of it. He patted me on the back, he said, Art, he said, you're all right. Now, he said, Bob, he says, the next damn time that you have anything go wrong, he says, you call this fella, don't call her.
Now that actually happened with this. Huh? That's hard to believe.
Well,
that's hard to believe.
He got mad.
But he came clear. He told him what happened.
Yeah.
And he was the camp director.
Yeah. Well, there were 5 different camp directors.
20 years. Well, that's just like serving under 5 presidents, isn't it? Mr. Eastman, tell me the story on John Palmer. I went down there and talked to him, and we stood out there and talked for half an hour.
Yeah?
Yeah, and he showed me his dog that he puts in there and keeps the burglars down. And I'm telling you, if I was a burglar, I... wouldn't want to get close to that fella.
I wouldn't either. I'll tell you that.
He says he can't get burglar insurance. It'd be so costly, he might as well go ahead and let the burglars come in.
John's a good fella.
Well, I want you to tell me a story on John.
John's all right. I like John. He's, you know, they say that he's so darn stingy and tight with his money.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, he's got those houses over there to Anthony and some in Reddick that he rents.
Yeah.
Now, he charges $52.50 a month. He figures $50 a month for the house rent, and $2.50 a month for the electric well, the pump, see, electric pump on the well, because they're on separate meters and they're charged to him. So, and he pays that, so that if anybody moves out, then there ain't no water bill back against them, see?
Yeah.
Well, now those houses, and he keeps them all up in A1 shape.
Yeah.
He could just as well get $75, $80, and some of them $100 a month out of them wire houses as he's getting 50.
Yeah.
Because they're nice. Now, I'm telling you, when I say nice, I mean nice. They're nice inside.
Well, $50 don't sound like much rent these days, if it's anything at all, Mr. Eastman.
Why, no. Carlin down there, that ranch motel gets $100 a month. Of course, she had a maid service down there, if you want it.
Yeah.
But geez, all she's got is just a couple of rooms there, you know. There's a bedroom and a kitchen.
Yeah.
And the bathroom. I don't figure that John is like he said he was. I don't figure John is so tight.
Well, where does he, you wonder where he gets the reputation?
Eh?
Wonder where they got started thinking about him tight.
God, I don't know.
He said she knew a lot about things. We were talking about something, and she said she knew all about that. Well, I said I'd love to talk to her sometime. And he said that she wasn't able to talk much now. And she's right elderly, and, well, you know, he said something about it.
She's 96 years old.
96.
Yeah. Yeah. It's over there just a short time ago. She's getting where, you know, she can't handle herself too good.
Walking?
Yeah.
And she was complaining that the girls had to help her. Now I said, now listen, I don't want to hear you complaining about the girls having to help you. I said, see all of the years that you waited on them girls and changed their dirty diapers and washed them. I said, now you're complaining about having to have the girls help you. Gee, that tickles the old lady, you know.
Yeah.
And the girls, John's sisters, the two of them, that stays there with her, they're both old maids.
Oh? Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So he's really got his family with him there, hasn't
he? Yeah, sure. That's the reason John never got married, you know. He had his mother and two old maid sisters there.
Well, Lord, he didn't have to marry, did he?
No.
No. Well, I'll be dad barn.
I was working for John when I got married to this woman I'm living with now. And I stopped in that one night where I was working for him. I bought a new axe. And I was looking them over to get a sharp one, you know. If the company that puts them out can't sharpen them sharp, you don't want to have the idea that you're going to. That's the way I look at it, see.
Yeah.
John said, Artie, what do you got to have one that's so sharp for? Well, I said, John, I'll tell you. This woman that I'm going to marry is bigger than I am. And if she gets too darn cute, I'm just going to trim her down to size. And you know that little Japanese girl who works in there?
Yeah.
She was laughing over there and just hopping her up and down.
I didn't see her the last time I was in there.
Got a son. He's 17 years old. He got a daughter that's 19.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
And she don't look very old
or something. She don't look too old. That's what I told her, didn't I?
Well, where'd she come from, Mr. Eastman?
Someplace in Japan.
It's like
you
got a slave for you over there.
What?
It's like you got a slave.
Well, we're getting along now.
and on up towards the Milk War, and some small talk before we get into it.
I've seen the time, and I never knew when I was going to bed, or where I was going to bed, or when I was... And thank God it was sleeping in the automobiles, right on the road.
Yeah.
Four of us traveling together. Sure. We got a meeting on in one county one night, and next maybe over a couple hundred miles the next night.
Yeah. Is that high?
And, Amalgamated Clothing Union was with us. Sometimes it'd be a man speaker, sometimes it'd be a woman. She'd come from New York City, the Amalgamated Clothing Manufacturers. Across the road from me there, and they had A lot of them, well, a couple hundred of them left in the building. And they wanted the building tore down. They didn't know what they were going to do with the apple barrel, see? And they were bound that I'd got to take them. So I took some of them, the apple barrels. Well, I had to fire them up on the hill. And I put a lot of them up on the hill there, but I thought I might want to use some of them, so I put them down cellar there. And then amongst them barrels, you know what a sugar barrel is?
Yeah.
You know how much bigger they are than the apple barrels?
Yeah.
Well, I had half a dozen of them sugar barrels down there, too, was in with that. And some of them was right side up and some of them was bottom side up, see? So what do I do? Jesus, I just walked right over in the middle of them barrels.
Now that is just in the middle of the milk war, just beginning of the milk war, and this is the end of Channel 2 Right, the end of Channel 2 Right. Arthur Eastman, on that Saturday, the 16th of August, when he put in the new water heater, and this is the beginning of the milk war towards the, he just about finished with the heater, and pretty soon he'll sit down at the table and drink some coffee, or eat some chocolate ice cream, and talk, and this is in the milk war, and I never heard this story before, and he said he had pictures of the milk war, and this is the end of Channel 2 Right, on Saturday the 16th of August, 69. Saturday the 16th of August, 69. Channel 2 Right, Mr. Arthur Eastman, beginning on the milk war.